Welcome to a special edition of The Week in IndyCar and the Marshall Group podcast. We are talking about Fernando Alonso, McLaren Racing, a rather, I don't want to say surprising announcement, but a more odd than expected announcement about their plans to participate in the 2019 Indy 500. And I have my friend and colleague, Racers Formula One reporter Chris Medland on the line from Brazil. Fully sober too, by the way. I'm quite impressed at this hour, Chris. You were there. You are there, but you were there. Spoke with Zach. Got a feeling for what's happening, what we think is happening. Just why don't we start off, Chris? Give us a general impression of the circumstances and the surroundings where and when the announcement was made. I know that might have jumped out as a little bit different than usual.
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise because we were running around in the F1 paddock sweeping up all the post-qualifying reactions. So we'd had qualifying at Interlagos and you're focusing on who was on pole, and Sebastian Vettel had got in a bit of trouble with the FIA and we're chasing these stories, and then suddenly email drops in your inbox and everyone rushes down to the other end to McLaren to find out what's going on down there, because press release came out just saying they were going back to the 500, which was great news, but it also was sort of lacking in detail, so it left us with quite a lot of work to do on Saturday chasing what was actually going to happen.
And it also came after McLaren had another one of its least memorable qualifying performances, where both Fernando and Stoffel Van Dorn were knocked out in the first round of qualifying two. So just setting the scene, it wasn't as if this was at the end of Friday, where regardless of where the cars might have fallen on lap time and speed charts, at least you could say that there's been nothing baked in or nothing truly negative. I know that it might have also stood out as a little bit strange that right after a genuinely bad qualifying performance, hey, let's talk about the Indy 500.
Yeah, exactly. It was the way I sort of looked at it, and I think quite a few people did, and I don't think McLaren would say it's unfair to say, is they'd had a bad day, and rather than be sat around talking on Saturday evening about another bad qualifying session, they could be talking about something more positive and something new. So they kind of took ownership of that in that sense. They always do a group media session, so you get Zach and Gilles de Ferran and the two drivers, Stoffel and Fernando, sat there to talk about how Saturday went in the evening. And basically that was a 3-minute thing with the drivers talking about qualifying, and then Zach sat down and all we talked was IndyCar for 20 minutes. So it kind of changed the narrative a bit for them and was a much more positive story than it would have been if we were talking about them qualifying 18th and 20th.
So I've jotted down 6 or 7 bullet points for us to speak through and talk through. Also asked our listeners to send in some questions. We'll try and use their questions as a roadmap for this. So let's go ahead and start off with the first question posed. And this is very important, possibly the most important question of the day. This comes in from our mutual friend Steve Shunk, saying, will Chris actually stick around for the race this year? And that's a cheeky note, a nod to the fact that when you came over and helped Robin and I cover Fernando's Indy 500 debut in 2017, you actually could not stay and play for the race. So provided we get you back, are we going to be able to hold on to you for the race there, my friend, or not again?
Probably not again, I think. I've had this question as well from McLaren, and they were sort of saying that, I think it's Steve is pushing hard, isn't he, Shank? He wants me to actually see the race for once, but it's the last 2 years now I've had to disappear back to Monaco because it clashes with the Grand Prix in Monaco, and as you mentioned, my job's to cover the F1 side of things on the whole, so unless the boys and girls at Racer decide that they want me to forgo that one, I'll be heading back to Monte Carlo, which is, it's a tough life, isn't it? Someone's got to do it.
Poor bastard. All right, let's get into the real questions here. We got the softball out of the way. And again, we'll bounce around a little bit here, but there's some great questions that came in. First one from Nico Andre saying, hi, quick question. As McLaren will build up a team and has said they're going to build up their own team, are you aware of any top-rated IndyCar engineers that have been contacted by them? And I would also say that might be available. That, I would say, Chris, one of the first things that jumped out. So we had Zach tell you that they plan on going it alone or doing it on their own. Did you get any feeling from him that they're ruling out 100% working with any other teams or having a technical alliance? Because that really would drive questions on engineers and setup information on a big oval like the Speedway.
No, I got the feeling that there'll be some form of technical alliance, definitely, but that it's going to be very different to 2 years ago, because McLaren want to make sure this is a McLaren racing effort and not, for example, an Andretti effort with a McLaren coloured car. So they definitely want their own people. They're going to build up a team that they say are going to come from outside their Formula One personnel. They're going to put together a group. But I think it would be, even with much longer than they had 2 years ago to put together the team, it's still pretty short notice and late notice to start saying to people, hey, do you want to come and do the 500 with us, if you want people that have got the experience and expertise that you referenced. So I think there's definitely going to be a tie-up with someone somewhere, but it's just there's going to be a much greater amount of McLaren influence into it.
And Nico's question actually opens up the door to one of the biggest topics on this Alonso McLaren Indy 500 program, and that is potential technical partners. If we think, for example, of the Meyer Shank Racing team, they have a technical alliance with Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports. The MSR outfit, Honda powered, is independently owned. They have their own chassis, their own crew, their own everything. But since they are a newish team to the sport, they have struck that alliance with SPM, veterans, former pole setters at the Indy 500, and just good at many tracks in general. And through that alliance, MSR has definitely been more competitive coming right out of the gate. So not unfamiliar in IndyCar to have these kinds of things. But what's curious here, there's a lot of little avenues to wander down, Chris, is we can safely say, it hasn't been announced, but we can safely say that Honda will not be the engine supplier for McLaren's 2019 Indy 500 effort. We know from a lot of conversations on background that issues that exist aren't necessarily on the Fernando Alonso and Honda side, but more on the McLaren and Honda side. So that, I think, has been covered to death. We know that it's going to be a Chevy in the back of what Fernando drives. That's important, because that then, if we're talking technical alliances, it really does limit where those partnerships could be struck. And so let's look at those quickly. So if we're looking at existing Chevy teams, we have AJ Foyt Racing. They are certainly, like a McLaren in Formula One, on a long-term rebuilding effort. I would not say that they would be even remotely on McLaren's radar, just because the team's not quite there yet. We have Carlin Racing, which was a rookie outfit in 2018. We think they're going great places, but definitely not at a place where they would be able to offer much to McLaren. If we look down further, we're talking just Indy 500. Dryon Reinbold Racing is one that, again, quality effort, but just not something with that star quality that might attract a McLaren. You look a little bit further down, Chris, and you say Team Penske. Well, I've had some folks say, well, boy, wouldn't this be perfect? There's been a McLaren and Penske relationship in the past, and, you know, Indy 500 win with Mark Donohue, and et cetera. I cannot think of a single scenario where Roger Penske would say, yes, we want to dilute our chances of winning the Indy 500 by partnering with a different team, especially knowing how well Fernando did in 2017. So I cannot, there's no amount of money you can throw at Roger that's going to make him blink for that. And after that, it really does lead us back to either Juncos Racing, a rookie outfit, not happening. Harding Racing, which is now Harding Steinbrenner Racing, which used Chevys last year, Chris, or Ed Carpenter Racing. And I think within those two, ECR and the Harding Steinbrenner, if we're talking a technical alliance, I think we're looking at one of those two. And even from those two, there's a question mark. Honda Performance Development Vice President Steve Erickson told me on the record in an interview a month or two ago that they really did want to convert all of the Andretti-related cars and the Harding Steinbrenner cars going into 2019 are being run by the Andretti program. They wanted to convert all of those to Honda. They did not want to have this weird split of Michael Andretti with the four Honda-powered cars at Andretti Autosport, and then the Andretti-facilitated Chevy-powered Harding Steinbrenner entries. I don't have an update on that yet as to whether Honda has or will be able to take over that supply. If they do, though, Chris, you then have all six Andretti-slash-Andretti-related cars under the Honda banner. I would find it somewhat hard to see how Andretti would then be able to help or assist the Chevy-powered McLaren effort without Honda throwing big, big fits. So I wonder if that all signs would point to an Ed Carpenter Racing Alliance for the Indy 500.
Yeah, I think ECR seems to be the one that it all adds up for. I haven't had that even sort of mentioned directly from anyone within the team yet, but when you just start to pick it apart as you have, it makes a lot of sense. I don't think that Ed Carpenter Racing would be unhappy to have McLaren come and maybe put some money in and boost things a little bit for the 500. I think, as you mentioned with Andretti as well, we had a bit of a strange scenario just after the announcement was made that Michael would reply to a fan question saying that Andretti would be involved, and that tweet quickly disappeared. And as I understand it, that's because it was incorrect, not because he was letting the cat out of the bag. That was just because he wasn't fully aware of every talk that had gone on elsewhere and kind of how it's going to be approached. So I think, you know, McLaren is trying to keep things under wraps at the moment, and they did very well to do so in announcing the way they did. We weren't sort of expecting it when it came out. And similarly, that means that a lot of discussions have taken place with a lot of different teams. I think they've looked at numerous avenues that could have worked out for them to either do the 500 entry or even a full-time entry. And they've eventually honed in on something, but managed to keep everyone unaware that they're talking to other people. So there's probably got to a point where they've gone, look, we're going to say nothing about who we're partnering with, or even if they... When the announcement came out, I actually wondered if it was a done deal yet. I did wonder if there was still so many plates spinning that they just thought, you know what, we're definitely going to do it. We're going to show everyone we're serious and we're coming, and then we'll actually finalise some of the other terms over the winter. But I'm assured everything's in place. Everything is agreed and ready. So that would suggest there's a partnership there that's just not been confirmed yet. And as you say, I think ECR just seems to be the one that ticks most of the boxes, if not all of them.
And we know that McLaren has spoken with Rahal Edelman-Lanigan when the topic of part-time, full-time program was raging over the summer. I spoke with Bobby Rahal this morning. He said, it's not us. And again, I know he's Honda-powered, and I know that we've also said it would be a Chevy-powered thing, but you still call around and, you know, just try and cover off. The last time that McLaren spoke with the Ganassi team, for example, was about 2 years ago. There's definitely been talks elsewhere. The one that was really interesting, this isn't necessarily 500 related, but it could have been, and just mentioning this because it's one of those deals that almost happened, learned that the Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports team had gotten pretty far down the road with McLaren, even from what I've heard, the rumors were even to the point of selling an ownership stake in SPM. I don't know what percentage. It's owned, co-owned by Rick Peterson and Sam Schmidt, but things had gone along far enough for them to actually discuss McLaren becoming, you know, the third owner of the team and switching to Chevy engines. And so SPM has reconfirmed and is under contract with Honda. Let me rephrase that. I have heard that all of the existing Honda-powered teams that were full-time in 2018 have re-signed, so that would mean that Schmidt is back. But interesting to hear that at some point over the summer, the concept of SPM becoming both Chevy-powered and partially owned, what a percentage I can't say, by McLaren, gone pretty far down the road. So although that hasn't worked out, clear, Chris, very clear that the intent to do something in IndyCar has been there all along. I know that when Robin Miller and I spoke with Michael Andretti at Mid-Ohio, we're talking to him about, so what do you think? Is this going to happen with you guys or not? He said no on the full-time front. He really did not think anything was going to happen, but he did say, I absolutely expect Fernando to be at the 2019 Indy 500. What I don't know is if he meant Fernando will be there, I can't say with who, or if he also knew that it was going to be with McLaren as well, but I've had no question, and you know, we've written about it, and I think mentioned on the podcast a few times, that Fernando being there, not really a big question, have expected that. The McLaren angle is the one that surprised me, and this is something that a couple of folks have written in and asked or mentioned in some way, shape, or form. Were you surprised at all, Chris, that the things that Zach has said over the last 2 years or so, hey, we want to be an IndyCar, so on and so forth, but we need to get our Formula One program together, get our act in gear there. Are you surprised that with that proviso and the fact that the Formula One team has actually only gone backwards, that we now have this announcement when, well, maybe on the surface it appears to be a conflicting message?
Well, I think there's a few things to sort of follow up on that, because as you've just said, with maybe the various options that McLaren had and what they were looking at different stages this year, Zach's been very careful to kind of think of every scenario, I think, when it comes to the IndyCar project, because they've gone with, okay, if we've got the resources and the ability to focus on it, let's go for a full entry, you know, potentially get a stake with another team or partner with a team or set up our own, how are we going to do it? And then there's also been that, okay, if we're not there yet from the Formula One front, then let's not let this all go dead at this stage. Let's still go back and do the 500 at least. And then how are we going to do that? How much effort are we going to put in and resource? One thing that they made clear to me during the weekend was McLaren are pretty confident that this will pay for itself at the 500. They're not going to lose money on it, which obviously they couldn't afford to do or couldn't risk losing money on it if that money should have been going into the F1 project. So it kind of shouldn't impact financially on the F1 side of things. If anything, it should just be a bonus for them, because it's greater exposure, it's more coverage, it's brand building. One thing I've got to say McLaren do well is off the track stuff in Formula 1. They've been sort of progressing at a rapid rate of knots with everything but the car, pretty much. So they've made a number of changes in terms of team personnel. I think they've accepted that they're going to be that they're at rock bottom really right now. I mean, they look like they're going to finish seventh in the Constructors' Championship. Well, sorry, sixth rather than seventh, because Force India looked like they won't get to them. But it's not been a great season, and it's tailed off the longer it's gone on in Formula 1. But next year, they've got two new young drivers. They've got new technical personnel coming in. And I think the team last year was expecting a big step forward and to be back at the front, which clearly hasn't happened, even though they switched from Honda to Renault in Formula 1. But that switch has still given them hope that they're going to have a stable baseline to work with for next year, learn from this year's problems and start the recovery process. And they're no longer thinking, OK, we're going to leap back to sort of podium contention. But they've become realistic enough to say, OK, it's a long and painful road, but we know what we need to do and what's facing us. So having that mindset, I think, and that outlook means that the team is better prepared for what Formula One will be like for them next year, but also then to add something like the 500 alongside that. And the 500 is a great event for McLaren. It's as we said with the way they announced it, when they were having problems in Formula One, here's a good news story, we're going back to Indy. And that's something that they've done very cleverly and very well. I mean, they've got one of the biggest social media followings, I think, in Formula One, despite having such a hard time recently. You know, they're well ahead of Mercedes in a number of metrics, even though Mercedes are dominating, because they've been very good at other things for the brand. And that's something McLaren needs to keep doing, because that way it can carry on bringing in good money from sponsorship and partnerships, and therefore fund whichever racing project it's doing, be it either Formula One or IndyCar. So, yeah, I think in that sense, it's not a distraction. Finding the personnel will make it a distraction. Obviously, some team members are going to have to get involved across both F1 and IndyCar at some stage. So, you know, there's some workloads that will go up for the month of May. But I think McLaren are probably looking at it that it would be just more distracting if the team was very close to the front in Formula 1 again and it needed that final 0.5% to fight with a Red Bull or a Mercedes or a Ferrari. Whereas when they're looking longer term at, okay, it's going to take us years to get back to that level, then maybe now is the time to dip their toe back in at the 500 and see if they can run the two in parallel. So I don't think it's the worst idea in that sense. And from Fernando's point of view, he said he was actually had offers, had talks with other teams to do the 500, as you say. He was definitely going back one way or the other, but he was just waiting on McLaren to make his own decision. And his first choice was always to do it with McLaren. And if that hadn't happened, then we'd have seen him with someone else.
So just come back and cover off quickly on Nico's question. So provided McLaren hires a dedicated team to run this car, for the most part, just about everybody who would touch that car does not need to have IndyCar experience. A highly qualified FIA WEC mechanic or gearbox specialist or electronic specialist or F1, XF1, whatever it is. Quality people can be found in many high-level disciplines who would be able to take a Dallara DW12 Chevy and then prepare it to the highest level as any other team. They would certainly have the ability to do the body fit as well, considering, or provided they acquire a car somewhat quickly, Chris, and then just spend months getting every little detail right to get that extra mile per hour or so out of it aerodynamically. But it does come back to that hardcore question of, if they do end up going it mostly alone, they are going to struggle to find the Indy specialist type folks on the engineering side. I would say that, again, that is going to either be their Achilles heel, or if they do strike a technical alliance with a proven team like an ECR, or if Andretti can help, all depending on engine alliances, that would reduce that exposure. Also knowing that Gilles Defferrin, who went from just driver coach and such for this 2017 Indy 500 effort to now he is an actual senior member of the McLaren staff, would say having Gilles there as well to continue to help in whatever regard with the 500 would only be a boost. So really, to me, Nico, this just comes down to the question of engineering that you've asked, and if they can solve that through a technical alliance, great. Otherwise, I cannot think of any true star proven veteran oval engineers that are just sitting around waiting to go to work for them for this one-off race. So let's see, let's go to a few more questions here, Chris. Corey Matthews asks, do you think Fernando returning for a second 500 will increase TV ratings? It seemed like last year, or when he was there in 2017, we had more overseas viewers, but do you think it'll spike again, or will the second appearance be not as new or special as this go-round? The one thing we can say for sure is Fernando's participation in the 500 itself didn't move the needle. The live streaming test day that he did, that did crazy numbers.
Yeah, it was all the build-up, wasn't it, really? Because it had come out of the blue, and then suddenly you're seeing a current Formula One driver in an Indy car trying to prepare for his first ever oval drive. It was, it was something unique. So that was quite cool. I think, I mean, McLaren have talked about they're going to try and put together a really good schedule so they get plenty of running and Fernando can get plenty of track time in the build-up. But yeah, those sort of moments are going to be less unique, aren't they? We've seen him now sort of do the rookie orientation, and we've seen him run on the Brickyard, so it's kind of less special to see it happen again in that sense. So you won't see those same numbers, I think, from practice streaming and things like that. But I think certainly overseas you're still going to see a big, big interest, mainly because Fernando's made it this mission of winning the Triple Crown. So he's kind of isolated it from being about, you know, winning the 500 at your first attempt. It's the whole mission of him wanting to go and win the 500 at all. He's ticked off Le Mans now. You know, he hadn't done that when he first went to Indianapolis. So even if he had won the 500, he still would have had one more race to try and achieve the Triple Crown of Le Mans, Indy 500 and Monaco. And now he's got two of the three. So he's trying to make sure that he completes the set and matches Graham Hill's achievement. And that in itself is going to excite motorsport fans sort of globally and bring in the interest to the 500 for some that maybe were less inclined to view it normally. But also, I mean, he's just so popular in Spain and in Europe that interest naturally was always going to come back with him going back. They watched the first event, loved it, apart from the way it ended for Fernando, but it still was a great race. And that's got people interested. And Fernando going back, the coverage you'll get, the boost McLaren will give it with all their following, it's definitely going to have an impact, I'd say. Probably not to the same extent as 2017, but there will, I think it will be noticeable.
The next question is a really good lead-in from there, this coming in from Luke Siders, who says, do we expect that McLaren may decide to add a few more races to the calendar as one-offs? Circuit of the Americas would be a good idea since they have experience at the track, other possibilities of marquee events like Road America. My mindset on this, Luke, would actually be a little bit different for 2019, and it would be more along the lines of, could they add a race or two ahead of the 500 strictly to get the team warmed up and working together, assuming again that they're not just straight up taking the full crew off of one of their existing F1 programs, which we know they're not, but since we believe this is going to be a group of new people having to learn to work together, if you have the means and the ability, i.e. if you have the money, you do not want this team to do their first hot pit stop in the Indy 500. You would absolutely want them to do that in competition elsewhere, something where not only can they gel going over the wall doing pit stops, but just simply working together in the garage, in a racing environment, getting a feel for, you know, how the IndyCar series groove might be a little bit different than wherever, whatever series these the staff would come from. I know, Chris, that if we look at the FIA WEC calendar, we have a May 4th, 2019 event at Spa that Fernando would need to do with the Toyota WEC team, but that would certainly free him up the following weekend to do the Grand Prix of Indianapolis, May 11. If we also look back and say, okay, could they try and do something a little bit earlier? Again, just using Fernando's WEC calendar, provided there are no changes there.
He's going to be in the U.S. already.
Yeah, he would be free to do COTA. He would also be free to do Barber Motorsports Park. You know, there are definitely some options there.
Yeah, he'd be free to do them all, actually, in that sense, because the only WEC race that's before May, as it stands, is 15th of March, and it's Sebring, so he's already going to be in the US at
absolutely
that point, and that slots right in between basically COTA and St. Pete. So there's potential there in that sense, and I think he would like to be over there, but I think then it comes down to how much McLaren has got in place by that point. But the fact that they haven't even announced so much of the development of the project yet, you know, means we can't rule it out, because all they've said is they're going back to the 500. They haven't said that's the only thing we'll be doing.
And so that's definitely, I would say, Luke, that at minimum I would expect to hear that they will be doing both May races in Indianapolis, just knowing that the GP is the easy one to get the team up and moving and working and in some form of groove, because once you're done at the GP, within a matter of days, we kick off into practice and things get rolling from there. Here's one, Chris, that we've gotten from a few folks, and I know you've asked Zach about it, and he was a little bit coy. Would be curious to hear your thoughts, as coming in from Christopher Page, on if and who might occupy a second McLaren Indy 500 entry.
Yeah, I kind of had a thought came to me when we were sat interviewing Zach and Jill and Fernando during the whole sort of press briefing, and I hadn't even sort of checked all the details of what you can and can't do, is that if you were coming in as a one-off entry, but obviously there's no restriction on how many cars you could go with. And kind of the impression I got is that if possible, they would like to run more than one car, because, to be honest, I think it's likely that they'll end up running more than one car, because it strengthens Fernando's chances, basically. You know, you want to have added data, you want to have the added running, you want to be able to work with more than just one set. And obviously they were used to that when they did it in 2017. They had so much help. So I can see there being a second car. To be honest, I hadn't given it a huge amount of thought when I asked the question, and I still haven't now. But when I sort of put it out there that it looked like it's a possibility, the amount of people that said Oriol Servia was huge.
Yes, of course.
But it was also put out there. I think was it Tony Stewart said that he'd been approached by Zach. At one point, he said he mentioned something a few weeks ago or months ago. Racking my brains to remember exactly what it was he said, but they just sort of dropped the hint that Zach was talking to people about what he was going to do and maybe having more than just Fernando running. But yeah, Servia was the one that kept popping up everywhere. But to be honest, there's so many experienced drivers that he can talk to, but how many of them are going to want to come in and feel like they're playing second fiddle to Fernando? They're going to want to come in and try and win the thing, aren't they? So I'm not certain on who it could end up being, but I think there will be a second car.
All depending on the details that we continue to chase. Is this going to be a true standalone thing, or is this going to be in a technical partnership or an alliance with? That, I believe, would also be a significant driver in this topic here, Chris, because if you have, you know, an Ed Carpenter and a Spencer Pigot at ECR as teammates, even if it's just through a technical alliance, you know that you know, the whole goal here in having a second car, or a third car if you could, it's not just about having a friend on race day, someone you might be able to draft with. It's, we're going out in this session to try these dampers. You try those, that damper build. We're going to try this damper build. We're going to do, you know, we are going to work through this big workload of testing options to arrive at the best package if you're having to do that as a solo effort. Not only is that going to be incredibly tough, but with the numbers, with the car count that we're anticipating in 2019, Chris, where we had a little bit of bumping this year, I think it's going to be even more. So we can safely assume that Zach and McLaren will be smart enough to make sure that Fernando is not operating as a one-car McLaren entry with no technical alliances and no one else to possibly help expedite their testing and you know, on track development. Let's move to that question as well. So we touched on a little bit, Chris, about the, hey, I thought they were saying they weren't going to distract themselves with other things. Well, at least while the F1 program was not on pace. What do you think about how this team would go about getting ready for the Indy 500 in terms of where the car might be built and based, if they are really truly trying to learn as much as they can compared to rely on all technical data from another team, there would want to be some wind tunnel time, CFD time, simulation time, you know, seven post rigs, just all the performance benchmarking and R&D stuff that is normal in motor racing today. Those are all things that they would want to do and need to do. I'm not aware that they have a completely separate base at McLaren to do all those things. I mean, would you foresee any time on a server farm or otherwise being taken away from the F1 program getting its cars ready for 2019? Or how do you think McLaren would go about doing some of these admittedly mandatory off-track development bits?
I'm pretty sure they're going to set something up over in Indy itself. I think there's I'd be amazed if Zach's been allowed to sort of pursue this without promising. There's never going to be a time that he says to someone from the F1 side, "Oh, can you just do this for the IndyCar thing?" The second you start doing that, you know, where does it stop? And then it really does become a distraction. Okay, it might mean that the IndyCar project goes a little bit more smoothly, but then you might have some guys that are getting annoyed that they're not fully prepared for the next Grand Prix or whatever it is. So I think they're going to really physically separate them massively and have something set up over in Indianapolis. So when we talk about them building a team and putting a crew together, they're still going to have come from stateside on the whole. I get the feeling that that's going to be sort of where a big investment is going to have to be made to do something like that. And that's why it then would point to the full entry in future. It was something I did ask Zach about as well, was if you do set your own team up and you put in all this effort for just a one-off, that's why I thought there might be more than one car. But also, is it fair to call it a precursor to a full entry? And he was like, well, you know, we still haven't made any final decisions on when we'll enter and if we actually will, but we'd like to. And by doing this, guess, yeah, you get a much bigger feel of what it is that you're going to need to do and how you're going to be set, what the costs are going to be, all of that. So I kind of think that by throwing themselves in fully in the US, even just for the month of May, you know, obviously all the build-up will be going on now, but by having a base over there, it gives them a really good idea of what the project would be like to have a full-time IndyCar entry as well. So that's where I think they're going.
And Chevy as well will be able to fill in and help with a lot of the aforementioned information, but some of the just genuine bespoke testing that each team will do on their own means that more than likely, you know, this car is going to head to wind shear and spend some time out on the East Coast in a proper wind tunnel, or ARC, which is in Indianapolis, and, you know, there's a lot of different performance-based testing and learning that they can do there. So my thought is similar to yours, where I can't imagine any way that Zach's fellow leaders at McLaren would let him take half of 1% away from the F1 resources to do this. So it would definitely involve hiring, you know, basically outsourcing and going to businesses that offer the things that they need to be able to learn all that they do for the IndyCar. Couple more questions here, and this one, love to get your thought on this, because it's a I guess a harm or add question. This comes in from Michael Clazy, who says, I think an Alonso win would be bad for IndyCar, just more ammo for the quote we're better than you snobs in Formula One. Third would be nice, keep them coming back. Thoughts? What do you think, brother? Does would a Fernando Alonso win be a black eye and tell the world that IndyCar is just second rate?
Well, I was actually worried about this in 2017 because it was a great story and it was great to watch Fernando competing. But there was just that part of you that thought if McLaren rock up, partner with a team, stick their driver in and he wins the race, it looks so easy to everyone. And you've got all the guys that have been busting their asses all year long and for multiple attempts trying to win the 500 who would be sat there thinking, you know, how did that happen? And I was a bit worried that that could be the way it was seen if it happened in 2017. I don't think so now. I think we'll have to wait for the full details of how the partnership works, but as we say, if McLaren are going to get some form of technical support, you know, they're going to rely on experience from others. They're not just going to show up and be like, oh, we know how to do it from just because we know how to run a racing car in Formula One. So they're showing the respect and the importance of having that experience and that expertise from the IndyCar side, and then they're putting in so much more effort focusing on one race with a world-class driver. I think the cost it will take, the time, the manpower, everything that goes into it that we won't see, like you said about, you know, running the car and testing and getting it in the wind tunnel and things like that, these are all things that we never actually get to see happening. But it's hours and hours and hours of work for months and months and months before the race just to try and get it somewhere competitive when it comes to race day. And I think that shows how seriously they're taking it. And that means that McLaren is fully aware of how hard it is to be successful at the 500 and in IndyCar, full stop. So, no, I don't think we'd get that. And there might be a few of the media or maybe some F1 fans that haven't been paying attention, then just watch the race, and if Fernando wins it, goes, yep, see, easy. But for anyone who's actually paying any attention to all of the build-up to it, all of the planning, all of the effort, I think they'll be fully aware of just what a challenge it is that McLaren are taking on.
I would just point back to the 60s, which is before either of us were born, but we think about the great Jim Clark, regarded as the world's best motor racing driver, coming over and winning the Indy 500. Although it was highly contested that it was won on outright performance, we have Graham Hill, another all-time Formula One great, winning the Indy 500. I realize this is after he retired from F1, but Emerson Fittipaldi, another who won the Indy 500 as well. Just say that when I think of Fernando Alonso, even though he's maybe been a more somewhat dickish version of himself this year, I realize that Fernando has two championships. I realize that Lewis now has five. I would say that in almost any wheel-to-wheel fight, whether it's going for pole position or a win, in the same car, I would choose Fernando every time. And that's not picking on Lewis. I love Lewis. But I think Fernando is truly an all-time great among greats. If he were to win the Indy 500, and it appeared that he had more than a chance of doing that in 2017 until his motor expired with, you know, the defending race-winning team, it wouldn't surprise me, and I don't think it would be bad, honestly, in any way. IndyCar has one Fernando Alonso equivalent, and that's Scott Dixon, five-time IndyCar champion. Every other driver is pursuing him. I think a knockdown, drag-out fight between Dixon and Alonso for the win with five laps to go, that'd be the best scenario in the world, because these are two of the world's best going at it. But I don't think IndyCar... How's this? I do believe in an age of social media and everyone sharing half-considered thoughts and opinions, Michael. But yeah, I'm sure that the quote snobs would say whatever, but that's nothing new. Plus, who cares what people say on the internet?
yeah, ignore those, especially the writers on it. They don't
yeah,
know
those idiots, I'm telling you, just don't. All fake news. But I'm sure there'd be some, you know, I'm sure there'd be some ass hattery on that subject if he did win. But I do know that if the guy did win, I would be standing there in victory lane saying, as he should. A man with this amount of talent and the clear aptitude for ovals he's demonstrated, Chris, as he should. I think it'd just prove that, you know, hey, if one of the world's best is able to do it, hopefully some who think they're as good, if not better, than Fernando would come over and try and prove or see if they have any measure of whether they could do the same thing there. Let's see. Let's pick one or two questions to close here, Chris. I know you've got a flight coming up here shortly. I've had a couple of folks ask in a variety of ways if you think that this Indy 500 announcement and the formation of a dedicated McLaren team to run it is a de facto acknowledgement that they're coming full-time in 2020. And I'd maybe add to that on the flip side that, well, if they are going to assemble a team to run the Indy 500 with Fernando, and we assume at least one race beforehand, it'd be strange to me to think that they would then just disassemble the whole thing afterwards. But I don't know. Maybe I'm not seeing it the right way.
I'm thinking, you know, something I touched on earlier, but I think it's very much a precursor to a full entry. But as we said about how Zach has to run it and how he's probably got the all clear to go and do it, he has to prove that this can sit in parallel with the F1 project and not impact it in any way. And one thing I think people seem to forget, certainly from my side of the pond, when we're talking about Formula 1 and McLaren, is the team is McLaren Racing. It's not just McLaren Formula 1. And they want to race in other categories too. And yeah, they could even up sticks and leave Formula 1 and just race an IndyCar. They won't. That's not something they're considering. But I mean, that wouldn't stop it being a racing team. So the fact that they're looking to do it alongside Formula 1 and people are worrying that it might detract, even if it did slightly, it's what that team is built to do, is to go and race and try and win things. And in IndyCar, they think they've got a better chance of doing it at the moment. So it makes a lot of sense to do. But I do think that they have to prove with this project now, with next year's entry, that the two can work in parallel and they can still be moving in the right direction and competitive in both. And part of the problem comes from, if they build a bad car in Formula 1 next year, then they're going to be at the back. That's just how it's going to be, because that's how it was this year. So the team itself might function excellently in terms of how it prepares for each Grand Prix after then, maybe how it develops its F1 car, maybe the way it performs at each event. And it might not be distracted at all by IndyCar, but if it's running around at the back, people still ask the questions, why are you racing an IndyCar if your Formula 1 team's not competitive? So it's going to be a difficult scenario regardless, but I think, yeah, Zach needs to show, yeah, we can do the two together. It doesn't take anything away from the F1 project. It boosts the brand. We get to go racing. They keep Fernando involved. And don't forget, there's, you know, potentially a chance that he might want to come back to F1 in the future. He's a great ambassador for them to have in terms of your star driver heading up other projects for you. So there's a lot of plus sides for them going to do it. And I think if they put all that together and show that it works well and doesn't harm the F1 side, then yes, 2020 full entry. I'd be surprised if they didn't. But if there were any question marks, then maybe that team is just kept as something that will come and do just Indy again, just the 500 in 2020, because maybe Zach can't convince everyone else that it's the right time to go with a full outfit. But the intention is clearly to have the full-time entry at some stage. And what they've done now is, when I guess we saw it was almost a negative when McLaren announced it wasn't going to enter in 2019, in the full season, now we've seen actually, okay, based on the fact that there was no McLaren running an IndyCar this year, it's a step towards the full entry, and it's just whether the second step follows 1 year later or maybe two or three.
I'm going to take the last question here. A little bit cheeky, but there's something behind it. This coming in from Kyle Brown, who asks, is this announcement legitimate? Said this year, Zach and McLaren have a history of backing away from things after a few weeks. Part of me, Chris, wonders if Kyle's question is fueled in part by Zach and very frequent comments of, we're going to do this, we want to do that, this guy might drive for us, we could go here, we're going to the moon, we're going to submarine racing powered by McLaren, we're going to do, unicycle racing.
Did you just leak the Luna project? Because yes. I thought that was still off the record.
No, damn it, I shouldn't have mentioned it. But, there was, I think you and I might have shared some emails or texts about, would someone please tell Zach to just say less right now? Just, and so we're not picking it on Zach, but I think I think Kyle's question might be stemming from a little bit of almost McLaren slash Alonso exhaustion, where it seems like up, down, sideways, yes, no. There's just been a lot of news and a lot of things floated that haven't panned out. What do you think? You think there's any chance this program gets scuttled because there aren't a lot of specifics being offered up front? Or are you confident that it's all there? They're just not in a place where they have all the pieces to then spell out.
Yeah, it's one of those where I can only really take the team at their word from when I've spoken to them and tried to get more background on it. And they're insistent that it's all finalised, it's all in place. And the reason that we don't have all the details is because if they'd just released it all on Saturday night in Brazil, we'd have talked about it, we'd have found out, we'd be sat here having this podcast and just saying, almost regurgitating the press release and saying, well, this is exactly what's happening. We wouldn't have anything to speculate over, and it would be done. And Monday would finish, and everyone would be like, right, McLaren's going to Indy next year. We know that. Move on. What else is happening in the world of motorsport? But by just giving confirmation they're going back, but no further details, there's questions that people are trying to get answered, then they'll release a little bit more detail, and they'll get multiple news cycles out of it. They'll get more exposure to the project. If there's partners and sponsors that need announcing, then they're going to get their own bit of time in the limelight. It's just a clever way of delivering the news as such. And that's what I mean. It's one of the things that McLaren have done very well recently in terms of keeping themselves relevant and in the news, even when things have been really bad in Formula One, because they haven't always been able to control the narrative with the F1 side of things. And they've had some really sort of bad results, bad stories, bad comments from Fernando and Stoffel, that sort of thing. Now they're able to go, okay, well, here's a positive one, and we're going to make sure that we stretch out for a while. So I just think they're being a bit clever with that, and that we'll get more details sort of drip fed over the coming weeks, which is quite exciting to know is coming as well. You're kind of looking forward to it then, and trying to preempt where the next thing's going to be, or find out what it's going to be that they're announcing. So I think it's definitely going to happen, because basically once they have pressed the button, they know how stupid they'll look if they back away now. And IndyCar itself is so excited to have them there, and has helped so much to make sure McLaren go back, that IndyCar won't let it fail either.
Any chance the sponsor, the promo that they had on Fernando's 2017 Indy 500 effort, any chance the winner of the, quote, world's fastest gamer will be in the second car? I don't think we've spoken about that at all. That could be a big clue.
I mean, that sort of thing would be very cool, but no, I can't see that. They've... Esports have been really taking off actually on this side. So World's Fastest Game has changed, and they now have the McLaren Shadow Esports project, and they've got sort of professional esports drivers racing in the Formula One Esports World Championship against other professionals from other F1 teams. But those guys are very much focused on that esports project. They've got Rudy Van Buren, who is now like one of their sim drivers, who's might be doing some sort of racing next year, but we're talking sort of GT3s and European Le Mans series or something like that. Not jumping in an IndyCar at this stage. Like you say, you need someone who's going to be fully clued up, fully experienced to really help with that. But maybe there'll be a third or a fourth car in
Elkhart. See? I love that you just provided a serious answer to a stupid, sarcastic question.
I know.
But that's why we love you,
Nicholas. I got halfway through it. I was like, where am I going with this?
That's all good. Brother, thanks as always, my man. And also after a busy weekend here, thanks for taking some time before hopping on a plane to head back home from Brazil. And your F1 season is getting close to wrapping up. So good on you, and we'll look forward to seeing you next season.
Yeah, one to go, and it's already shaping up next year. The 21 F1 races, and now an IndyCar, at least practice and qualifying weeks coming up. So